That's cortisol.
What's that?
A good place to start. What's cortisol?
It's like a stress chemical. Andrew Huberman, you know what I mean? No big deal. No big deal. You ready to do this thing?
You ready?
Then let's do this thing. I'm in the mood to be slow and careful. My body's ready for a mountain climb. All of a sudden it will all become lovely. The flower that opens in the morning light. Speaking of chemicals in the body, I guess we could use hemoglobin as a transition. We sit here, two men with bandaged fingers. Mine fell off about right before we started.
Yeah, you look pretty healthy to me.
This does not hold a candlestick to what happened to your finger. Tell the people.
It's a visual thing, you know?
It is.
So do you want to put it up? Do you want to see a gory finger? Give us reviews.
We'll post a picture.
Yeah, learning, trying to teach myself how to carve wood didn't start well.
No.
And
where did the drive to, I was super, when you said it, I was surprised and just super interested where the drive to make your own chess set, carve your own wood and do that came from.
Same place the drive to do the podcast came from, the ether. I don't know. I think probably the subconscious was sensing like you need to be challenged.
Yeah.
I think this filled that for a while.
Yeah.
Not that it's phone in, but there's not the challenge element anymore.
Yeah.
So then it's immediately fulfilling, and I think that's what it is.
And are you taking that as a sign from the universe?
No.
You're going.
I'm taking that as a sign from the universe to actually wear the recommended chainmail glove.
That's a good thing to take.
Yeah.
So we will be able to look forward to
custom woodwork by Noah
in the future.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But if you are a very close family member and like chess, then maybe.
You might get a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, want to settle in to some admin, to talking to the people?
Just make a mental note. Finger cutting stories, not great for podcasts. Just for us to be remembered for the future.
Yeah, in the future. Finger cutting stories, no bueno. Things that are bueno is... I'm getting good at these transitions. Forcing them at all.
Bueno. That's the most Manchester way.
There was a lot of Spanish. Things bad, de malo. Things are good, de bueno.
Malo. Bueno. Yeah.
Diablo. Something's really bad. Somebody gets in an accident right in front of you. Like, ooh, Diablo. Diablo.
Oh, you threw some pepper on it there.
Yeah, you got a lot of appropriation in Manchester. But we got a bunch of reviews. We were talking about it last time. We did the rapping. I learned a lot. I guess that's the most I'll say about
it. What do you mean?
It feels good to sit in this chair today, a little freer.
Yeah.
A little less of a load. But appreciate everybody sending those in. The interaction part, as you do say, as you kind of just said, as it becomes less challenging. And during the summer, it's harder to give it as much attention and all of those things. It's always that interaction part is the part that still gets jazzy and gets some juices flowing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why, it's that reason that you're listening to us twice in a row on a solo.
Yeah, well, it felt good.
Yeah.
Feels good. It does. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it.
But the next few months coming up, we've got 4 or 5 guests lined up right now for a really exciting through July into August, that we'll have a really good run of guests across a couple different spectrums, heavy in beer, sensory, a very interesting sensory episode will probably be what we record next. Kicked ourselves in the butt, got it together, and we're going to have a good summer of episodes and people to listen to.
Yeah, baby.
So we'll go for that.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about today, my friend?
First...
Ooh, and let me finish while you're clearing the throat, to finish one thought on that in terms of loving to get feedback and the struggle sometimes to line up guests. Listener, DM us on Instagram, graining in at bissellbrothers.com is the email. people that you think would be good guests, or if you have any guest recommendations, people that you know are familiar with the pod or might want to do it, send them our way. We'd love to get some guest requests and see what comes from kind of a views outside of ourselves, or even scope outside of who I know or who I'm thinking about, stuff like that.
Totally.
I really want a Pacific Northwest guest, big time. Heater Allen,
hear
Freem,
about the trees,
Holy Mountain. So I've had the way I still, the way the Asheville, these things bubble up for me, they're almost like a joke, or the not, but not really. They're,
maybe
they're
we can get those ranchers, those Oregon ranchers.
But I've
the Bundys.
But I've been, I don't know, I've the same thing that was going on in Asheville, and I'm gonna get there this winter. I was looking at all my stuff. I'll have a weekend I can take in the winter to go down there. But now I'm starting to feel that same thing about the Pacific Northwest. Just more, find myself Googling, find myself more intrigued with that. Would love to hear from any guests or listeners out there.
Cool.
That's all I got.
Anyway, I want to know, so going and you're breezing over the rap, maybe you don't want to talk about it.
I can talk about it. I'll talk about anything.
You know, I'll get the uncomfortable stuff out of the way for you, and then we'll move on.
Let's do it.
But it was massively impressive to me to see. I found myself like I couldn't help myself showing anyone that I could it to see someone just whip out the your latent talent toolbox and just flip on the switch like that is fucking cool. I've basically seen you do that twice. Over a lot of time with you. I've seen little flashes of like, if we're driving somewhere, maybe, I don't know. It's very, very cool. And everyone felt, it's not how people see you now.
Yeah.
You know, and then just to still be able to flick in like that. But real quick, Hester asked a question that definitely I had, how does it happen? Like, are there key kind of trigger words? Like what do you gravitate towards?
So I walked away from it disappointed in the end, and I'd already been there and kind of knew it and sensed it. It wasn't like a catastrophe or anything like that, but
you're a fucking idiot.
The first,
honestly, that shit was awesome, man.
Well, no, it was like there were words there that was fine and da da da, and like that part was, it was like technically
it's a free podcast rap also.
Yeah. And then, but like the breathing and the execution and the sound, like being able to inflect where you want to and like really control what you're doing with it was like complete, like,
oh, like being rust, out of practice for 8 years.
It's like that, the rust of that was like where everything showed. The ability to like take some like complex syllables and put them together, like that doesn't go away, and that's the thing you can do before time, you know, like you're not on the clock when you do that. When you actually express the thing and perform it, that's when you're kind of like on the clock, you get what I'm saying? And
yeah,
it was that on the clock part that was like the, I think the best way to say it is like, oh, this isn't like riding a bike, like you said, this is like a muscle that you exercise. So like that part, to be able to like just pick it back up and kind of do it the way I wanted to, was not there, and that was very interesting to me.
How though? Wouldn't it be obvious, of course, that it's not going to be there?
Somewhat.
You
yeah.
haven't performed. Well, it's also, in
yeah, it depends
a
on what you do. You know what I mean? I tried to do like my high energy thing that I did for so long, instead of just doing like a simple like, you know, like lower tone, lower energy, and just like,
well, that ain't you,
easy
baby.
to breathe you. And make the words rhyme. Which like I'll do like when I talk to my fiance about it, she's like, I don't think it's anything you should be embarrassed about or not put up. She's like, it sounds really forced and da-da-da. And she's like, I hear you bop around the house and freestyle the chants about his treats real simply and easily. And you know what I mean? And it's like light and fun. And she's like, you've never told chants, get the fans in the vans, get your hands, you got no pants. You know what I mean? She's like, it's not my favorite thing, but I'm sure people will love it. And she's like, it sounded a little like forced and like sometimes your voice wasn't there. And I thought that was objectively good. You know what I mean? And that's what you look for in your partner. But
I hear that. It's tough. Like, this isn't a recording studio, despite what we might say. The microphone isn't meant for rapping.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant for, well, I don't really know. I don't know enough about mics, but the situation was far from designed for what you were doing was basically a live performance.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that I meant that because I thought it was live to me. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
To one person.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought it was fucking great.
And that's why, to answer your question, to go back to like, how does it, it happen? Because in that element, that's part of the why.
I said a compliment. So obviously you need 10 minutes of self-loading.
Shut that down. Yeah. But the way it's different for everybody. But I think what's very common and was the way that I operated was very much something that you'd see like Lil Wayne do or like Jay-Z.
You've really been out of the game. You're saying Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne, couple T's in there. Not comparing myself to them, but just in terms of style, it's kind of like it's energy first. So it's like it's beat. First, we'd go to the studio. I wouldn't have anything. That you might have ideas as you constantly do of like places you wanted to touch or things you wanted to go or like one line that just keeps like coming to you, one punchline that's funny. But you don't go with your thing written down and like, here's the thing and I'm going to find something to put this into. It's the other way around. They get to playing beats, da-da-da, and one starts to give you that that nod and that screw face, you start to feel the energy. It's like if you Jay-Z's famous for it, that you just stink face. This thing is mean. And you start to like, your juices start flowing, your heart rate starts rising. And then you start to do this kind of like mumbling to get to put it back. And I sit in a stack, I got a minute. And then you start to mumble that way through. You start to feel what feels right to the beat. And stays in the pocket.
Interesting.
And then you start putting the actual words to that mumble. You know what I mean? And then
mumble rappers just skip the actual word part. They just stay in the mumble.
They're just going faster. They don't refine that. They just get that out onto the next song. But it really, and I think that's why it's such a funny thing to say, because I think that's why that resonates, because what's so much more important is this, like, is the feeling, emotion, da-da-da transfer. And to me, and most people that I've seen in the studio that operate that way, it starts, you mumble along to what is the cadence that is supposed to be with this beat? What is the rhythm that this beat's looking for? And then once you find it, you live within that and you start to put words together. And for me, it would kind of come in fours. If I could get my first four down, my first four lines to in that mumble way, if I could get my four, then I could start to get really confident, get some energy, and then you'd keep blocking it in fours to get to your 16. And then you do the same thing for a chorus that's four and four, or maybe they just repeat. But everything was always working in blocks of four to me.
Do you think that is pretty common?
Yeah, I mean, that's standard. Music. You've got couplets. It's kind of the building blocks of music. People will go other ways, but there is a different type of person who like writes their raps and kind of comes with that.
Who would be a famous version of that?
I don't know many of their process, I would bet. No. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I thought it was more common knowledge.
Yeah, I would imagine like J. Cole's a different animal. I would imagine that he can't just be going energy and feel to do what he does.
Kendrick Lamar, probably. Kendrick
jumped in my mind. We're like, these guys have things to say. They're very word technical focused. You know what I mean? And then they can do that over a very long, like J. Cole will historically just blow through where his 16 is supposed to be. And you're getting 24 bars.
You're supposed to only be a feature on this.
32 bars out of it. He does it over and over again. But I think it's because he's kind of that lyric thing first.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he has these raps that he comes up with. And it might be in a similar sense, but he doesn't need the beat to get that energy. And then I would imagine he's putting a lot of that to beats. And it's like, oh, the chorus is supposed to be here? Nope. I got 32 ridiculous bars for this. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Cool.
Stuff like that, where Lil Wayne, kind of complete opposite. Give me the beat. My muscles are sharp. I do this all the time. You know what I mean? I can kind of mumble my way into finding my magic little touch. And I've been working on rhyming so many words so often that I can find all the stuff to fit in there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's, did it leave you, It, like, if I did something like that, something I hadn't done in a while, I more often than not, it makes me, it's like, well, I got to do this again. Because not from an, but it, knowing that it was like, of course, this wasn't the peak of my ability.
That's 100% of what I'm.
So you're.
That
you're,
is like, yeah. The preparing for it and starting to get back into.
Well,
like,
did it transition into like, I need to do this again?
Yes,
is what
that's
I'm
what
asking.
I mean.
Okay.
But
okay.
It was more, it was in the prepare. It was in the fun of the finding a beat in the car on the ride down to work and like kind of getting into that. Really getting into that mumbling mode again. And then it was the disappointment of like before. I think that's frankly, that's what happened with the rap is like I got to a place where I had like 16 bars to come rap, and that's not my flow. That's not how my creative thing. My creative thing is the being in the car, putting on a beat, starting to catch an energy feeling and being able to do it. And not being out of practice of that, I could find my little four, or I could find two, or I could find a couple, but I could never get a big string together from the being out of practice. So I reverted to a different way of write down 16 things and go say them instead of like letting the energy of the room get me, sort of thing.
Well, the energy of the room got me, and I thought it was fucking great. Well, so I think you shouldn't be so hard on yourself.
No, but it is interesting. It's funny. I'm watching Jake. Me and Oyster Guy have talked a bunch of times about doing something who's been on the podcast and watching him over the last couple of days. Again, I want to give a shout out to Jake Hill. He's just living his He's making music. It sounds amazing. He's happy. But they were in the studio together yesterday. Jake Hill, Oyster Guy, couple other local artists all in a studio in Portland.
Cool.
Making music. But yeah, see stuff like that and be like, it'd be fun to be in that setting again. Cause that's where that stuff, the ability to do that really thrives in a studio. It's made to be a vibe creation. You're with all these other people that only want to do the same thing and are creative, da da da. And it gets easy to find that vein, I think, in that setting.
Well, where's the invite then?
Let's see what happens.
I'm pretty sure you could ask for the invite.
Oh, for sure. I'm pretty sure I need to do a little more rapping in the car back and forth to work for a couple weeks.
Well, if that the problem is you need to find the energy in the room, then maybe you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I like to make excuses for myself, for sure.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Let's not make excuses about answering some of these questions that came in.
Yeah. Let's do that. So in that rap, we had said something about they do it when it's time to write. They get the mailbag in when it's time to write.
Yeah.
No.
Like he keeps saying we, and I only say that because of like, I didn't have anything to do with that. and I loved it. You're giving me credit.
It's like the way I.
The royal we.
It's like, but then I do it the other side too. Sometimes I give the credit. Sometimes, like when I'm watching the Patriots, it's we.
It's me.
It's us. We played great today. So sometimes I take that credit too. Let's do the fucking mailbag. You want to do that?
Yeah.
So we did kind of like a truth or dare sort of thing. Going to be hard to do dares in an audio format, but we got some pretty good truths. First one. Everybody knows you're a baseball fan at this point. People even send in cards for you, which was incredibly nice.
For us.
Yeah, for us. Exactly. First one was, who was bigger, Ken Griffey Jr. or Cal Ripken Jr.? First of all, I'll go first. You've got the more baseball knowledge, but needed clarification on the word bigger.
Yeah.
Looked them both up.
You had to look them up?
Well, just like exact height and weight. You know what I'm saying? So right from the start, they're within an inch and 5 pounds of each other. So I don't know who's bigger.
Yeah.
In terms of who is bigger in like the sphere, that's a tough fucking question. I'm going to go Cal Ripken Jr. in time because of the scope and all of those things. But Ken Griffey Jr. in that moment when we were fucking young and those few years where you couldn't go to a little league field in the country without a kid with one arm on the bat when he finished it. He was fucking big in the moment, but I'll give it to Cal Ripken.
I mean, yeah, it's they weren't the same type of player either. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's choose your hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but for baseball, he just got injured so much. Mm-hmm. And then Cal Ripken's the antithesis mm-hmm. of that. So baseball's 162 games.
It's fair.
You have to be able to fucking be playing all the time.
It's incredibly
to be
fair.
Bigger.
Yeah.
It's the game of stamina is maybe not the full word because it's not like this physical exertion, but yeah. like half the year there's a baseball game.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the 6 months that it's played, it's every fucking day. I would know I'm about to do my first pitch, so like I have a pretty real feel on it. But yeah, you can't. Bigger in backwards hats, Ken Griffey all day. Yeah. Bigger in excitement.
Bigger to baseball.
Bigger to garner fans to baseball and grow the, I think, just make it cool. But Cal, I mean, he's the Iron Man.
Yeah, I had to go. I had to go Ripken for all those same reasons. Yeah,
you got
to
go Ripken.
I think that's fair.
If Griffey, you know, it's the thing that everyone says about Griffey. We're spending way too much time on this. Cal Ripken is the answer.
It's pretty tight. It's a good. It's a good thing to be because of that tightness. That's why it's a good question. But to move on, our dear friend Cam Bosch, who was just hanging out with Seth from Jackie O's, who is another guest that we will have on the podcast in the coming weeks, wanted to know. He was quite surprised by Noah with the Yeezys. He was surprised by the drip. He wants to know all about it. Let the people know.
Well, you should know I texted him before I showed anyone, so he should know.
A man who knows drip is Cam Bosch.
I don't know, man. I think the question was worded, where did the Yeezy habit come up?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I have one pair. That's my shoes that I wear.
Yeah.
I liked the shoes and I bought the shoes.
That simple?
It's that simple.
Kanye must factor into the equation in some way.
That was frankly more of a deterrent for me of a huge Kanye fan. Don't get me wrong, but more of a deterrent of I don't like to wear anything that's going to start a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my worry.
I buy that.
And that was why the worry. It was like, oh, Kanye West shoes.
I could see that.
I don't think most people, especially in Maine, really recognize them as and Kanye West shoes.
Of all the Yeezys, you bought those grays. They're like
the most shoe-like.
Yeah, they're the understated. I forget which one exactly they are. But
they're 500s.
Like, gray sandstormy looking like. Got some New Balance flow to them even a little bit. But the understated Yeezys.
Yeah, I think so.
They comfortable?
So comfortable. You would expect that. And that's, I was a great purchase. I'll stand, I'd probably buy another pair when these disintegrate.
Yeah.
I was given a little bit of a reality check. I was having dinner with some friends a few nights ago. We were eating in their backyard. We had got sushi. There was like, they gave us like a vat of soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So after I like dumped it into the dirt and like mixed it in with my shoe. Alex was like, you can wear them every day, but like you don't need to be mixing in soy sauce into the ground with them. And I was like, probably true.
It's pretty fair.
But that speaks to the fact they are my shoes.
Yes.
They are not
on a shelf
shoes.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. They
some
are the
people
shoes
don't even
that
wear.
I wear. If you see me and I'm not in boots, probably be in those.
Probably in the Yeezys. Yeah. Fair is fair.
So suck on that, Cam Bosch.
I'm going to go out of order now since you brought in a vat of soy sauce into the equation. We had somebody ask, guilty pleasure, and then said, mine is fake nacho cheese sauce that you can find in a vat at the gas station. First of all, going to give them credit because I think that the crappy nacho cheese sauce.
Anyone that says they don't like that is a fucking liar. Yeah.
It's so fire. It was a great answer for what a guilty pleasure is. But what's your guilty pleasure?
How long do we have? Candy. I'll say candy. That's
candy?
An easy one. Like a juicy fruit type of candy.
But I feel like for guilty, it needs to be like one that, like stuff that
that's
other
just
people
as bad
don't
as nacho
like
cheese.
Or pretend they don't like. You know what I mean? Everybody likes candy. But it's not good for you. It comes
yeah,
with
that's
all
what
those
a guilty
things.
Pleasure.
That's
I
fair.
Don't feel good about it.
Nah.
That's what that's what guilty is.
One, so maybe I answered this question wrong because I almost feel great about this. But one thing I took that most people don't like. Or that something that I don't proclaim to love because it's not like, because you would imagine other people don't. I fucking love the like corny, self-helpy, like way of the world on social media sometimes. Like when a woman, like a friend from high school, like gets into Arbonne. Do you know what that is? Like the affiliate marketing.
Know, probably.
They, oh, they like God, sell you the yeah. diet. They're gonna, you get the diet
you like
shakes.
That?
I fucking love it for that. Like for them, like it doesn't matter.
It doesn't end.
It doesn't
well,
matter
though.
If it's not gonna.
You should
stick.
Feel guilty yeah. that they're gonna be met with. If, crashing dreams.
Yeah, if you but not for the like financial purpose. But they're like when and the people that like broadcast from the gym and they're fucking going to the gym every day up in the morning, like even if it's not gonna last, that vibe that they're in for that them, I fucking love it. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. And even like the people that are preaching the self-help stuff, da da da. I just love those fucking modes. It doesn't make me cringe in the slightest the way it does most people. Mm. You know what I mean?
I don't know if most is so popular.
I mean, since somebody's eating
no,
it
I mean, yeah. I hate it. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good answer.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, that's fair. that's fine. I hit. Speaking of Cam Bosch, I hit him up yesterday, saw he posted he was reading a book. I think it was David Goggins or something like that. And I fucking, before I had known it, 10 minutes have gone by and I'd sent them like 40 fucking DMs of massive length of, have you seen this guy in Huberman and da da da. And it's what made me think of that, seeing him.
I was
like,
just taking a crap, man. Chill see, out.
And he is somebody who's worked really hard. Like,
of course.
He's
yeah.
working hard on himself. And it's like, fucking. I love that shit.
But
no
I'll
matter
tell,
how
I'll
corny
say,
it
with
comes
Cam,
across.
Doesn't drive it down your throat a
yeah,
whole
yeah,
lot.
Fair.
And so I say that's the way to do it. Everyone yeah. should want to work on themselves. But yeah. the fact is most people don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So
I give a fuck.
Why
baby.
Do you share?
Send the content send my it. Way. I'll give you your flowers. I'll tell you keep going. So proud of you. Let's go. I love that shit. Be your best self. Fuck
well, yes,
it.
Just don't tell everyone else. That's all I'm saying.
Next was, they gave a shout out to Milo, said with concert season upon us in Milo and looking like it's off to a roaring start and going incredibly well, which I can confirm so far it is. And we do appreciate that.
With Bangor and Shambles, is Greta Van Fleet coming here instead?
No, that's, let's see what happens. Get that field out of Frankenfeld and let's do this thing. I'm going to leave all of that alone with Bangor. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Concert season upon us. What is your favorite concert? I'm going to take it as that you've been to.
Okay, you go first.
Mine's real easy. My dog is named Chance. That he is named that reason because I went to see Chance the Rapper at a huge festival in San Francisco, outside lands in the middle of the park there. And it was kind of one of the peak moments of my life. Feel like he emanates like goodness. There's just he seems to be comfortable in his skin, cares about others, everything about him. Frankly, didn't think a rapper of his caliber was going to be able to control that many people on stage. I had a little bit of extra curriculars adding to the experience, but he came out and that thing emanated like to everybody. And I've never seen somebody control that many people so easily and well, eating out of the palm of his hand. Name my dog after him. Number two, Alanis Morissette. Got dragged to it, didn't want to go. Ended up going, she put on a phenomenal show.
Nice. Hell yeah. You don't get that famous for putting on bad shows.
I'm an Alanis fan till forever now.
No guilt about that.
No.
I'll probably say there could be a bunch. There's no like, boom, that's the one.
Changed my life.
Been lucky enough to go to a bunch of great ones. I'll say the last time I saw a Band of Horses.
Ooh.
We were listening to them a shitload at the brewery at this time. And the brewery's maybe 2 years old. We were still the industrial way. Huge. Pretty much all of us went to this concert at the State in Portland. And we'd left a case of beer in the green room for him. You know, whatever. Normally, for that kind of thing, I just like, it just feels cool
to be
like, yeah, who knows? Maybe they had the beer.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, this year I'm old enough to be like, they're just fucking people. But on the encore, they came back out for the encore, gave us the shout out. And it was just, and then played, I had wrote this, it wasn't corny, it was very quick. It was just
my favorite song.
I said every morning we start the day with Detlef Fremp has been the song. Because we were starting wicked early. It was early days of the Brewers. So like we would buffer this absurd amount of time on any process to account for the inevitable of all the shit that was going to hit the fan. So it was like really good, like when it's still dark out in the morning, mood music. Yeah. So I just wrote that. It's like, yeah, we match in every to this song. And they did the shout out, then start, then played that song.
That's fucking awesome.
And it was just cool. It was just the vibe of the small crew at the time we had, how excited everyone of like, it was just cool. It was amazing. A nice thing too. It was just nice. It was nice.
Did you say the venue?
The state.
Oh, fuck yep. yeah.
Yep.
Killer.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we did have a few dares. The only one I wanted to bring up, other than this one that can be done, and I will do, and that is to chug a Corona Sunrise. Need some video proof of that. But the other one that was brought up was dare you to bring back P&P.
I'll fucking do it.
just wanted to use that to just quickly talk about like just how simple or hard it is when a beer gets phased out like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No beers like... no beer's like dead.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not. It's just buy more of it.
Yeah.
Frankly, I hate to say that, but there's the reason that it's not being made more is it's not being bought as much as XYZ other beer. But with that, it has the tie into the Friends of Baxter. So it's beautiful label. It's not dead at all. It's just, you'll see it probably sometime this summer.
That might be a dare you get.
Yeah.
Do you find that, serious question, do you find kind of looking at the data and the sales data and making the decision as opposed to maybe when you have a hunch or a feeling or a care that you want to go against the sales data for a beer, do you find it harder to stand on that as the company gets bigger and more mature?
Yeah, it becomes irresponsible, frankly, to on a level where it's, and if it doesn't hit in the way you're in on some level inconveniencing like an exponentially larger amount of people,
totally,
that are then have an uphill climb. That absolutely. That doesn't mean that they're like, you'll still see beers that, quote unquote, are like fully against the grain.
Yeah.
But you just gotta pick your points a lot better because I owe it to everyone else that works.
Other people
works
are relying
us.
On you, and that only gets bigger as it grows. Totally. Awesome. That's a mailbag,
fuck
baby.
Yeah, man. Those were great. Keep them coming. But let's completely change pace.
Go to town.
I've been watching so much crime fiction lately.
Why? Any sense?
I don't know. I like it, I guess. Trying to learn some stuff.
On which side of the coin?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a very specific type of thing I'm talking about. I don't really know the genre specifically, but point being, incarceration comes into play a lot in these shows.
As it does sometimes when you commit crimes.
But in seriousness, though, I mean, we've talked about your time in jail on and off the podcast, mostly off. But it is a very unique experience that I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think that most people do not experience in terms of civilization as a whole.
Sure.
I really don't know.
I doubt 51% of the people on the planet are incarcerated.
If the prisons are already that overfilled, then I'd probably think you're right. But yeah, I wanted to kind of like do a little dive on the experience there, your thoughts on, I know the system is appears to be fucked, but I don't know. That's what you hear all the time. So many things. Yeah, right, yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to say one thing.
You're the one that's been in jail.
That's really interesting. Like I said, I played golf with some kids from New Hampshire on Monday. Two of them I hadn't seen in forever. One of them is the only kid that I ever like really got in a fight with, and was kind of the very beginning of. I got arrested for this. There was a big fight. Long story short, it was like my girlfriend of years had like kind of moved on with him. I was an idiot. He was a good friend. There was a thing at a party, and I fucking like went crazy and beat him up pretty good. And then after all of these years, still have crossed paths with him here and there at a wedding, but played golf with him. There's still a little thing in the air. And we went and got a drink and just kind of really hashed it out and talked about it a bunch. And wow. Then a few days, it had me in that space where I was thinking about those types of things. And then a couple of days later, you're like, really want to talk to you about jail more on the podcast. I've been watching these shows. And again, it's the thing I found in jail. And why I'm big in like serendipity in the universe now is that I'd never had any of those notions before I'd been in jail. But that it was another thing where like, that's funny that I've been thinking about this for 2 days and you asked me that. So anything you want to ask me and talk about anything, you know, on that front, always an open book.
First and foremost, like and I know you are very big on making the distinction between jail and prison clear. And over time talking to you, that's made a lot more sense to me. But from someone that hasn't been there, I think the feeling most people would feel is that seems terrifying. Mm-hmm. It obviously seems shitty to be locked up and have this very, like, have no real control over what you do with your, or at least be very limited to your control of what you do with your time. But the, in talking about these shows, like in fiction, it's like the meanest motherfuckers on planet Earth are you're in a cage with them basically. And you're on. So like how much of that, I know that's more of a prison thing.
Exactly.
But
that, yeah,
still you're with all you're literally living with exclusively criminals.
Yeah.
If you're in jail also. So like there must be some of that.
Yeah. And you're with a lot of people that are on their way to prison. You know what I mean?
So it's a holding.
Well, jail as it stands is filled with, frankly, in this day and age, a lot of people who just can't pay their bail, right? So if you could pay your bail, you go out and then you show up for your court dates. And then if you're found guilty, if you're sentenced to a small amount of time for misdemeanors, under a year, you would go to jail.
Yeah.
If you're sentenced.
Guess who's going to jail tonight.
Guess who's going to jail tonight. If you're sentenced to something much more serious, over a year, a longer term thing, you would go to prison. So A, it's built into prison that those are just more serious crimes because they got more time. And then that person also, if you're there for 25, for 30, you have a lot less to lose for the way that you behave in there. If you're sentenced to 1-8 months or you're on bail or just couldn't afford bail and are for a traffic violation or whatever it may be, you're generally just trying to be on your better behavior so you can get the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big difference in the way that people behave. That being said, like you're saying, you have people that are on their way to go. Like we were in when a kid killed a cop. Like
in jail?
Yeah. No, he had killed a cop, and then he's in the same exact place that he's in the jail of the county in which he did that with people that are also there for murder, are there for because they keep driving with their suspended license to go to work every day because the dysfunctional relationship they have with their significant other has filed a restraining order and they keep going back and they keep getting arrested. It's that was kind of the one of the eye-opening things is you have this wide array of people and the vast majority of them are in kind of like a shitty system place of child support, wife support, driving, small level drugs, these kind of very basic things that once that gets to you and gets its kind of tentacles on you, it can get sticky. And once you lose the license for these little things and you still need to go support yourself, now you're in a sticky place.
Yeah.
You keep driving and all of those types of things. And then the scariest people tend to, if you're they tend to respect people who have a sense and a head on their shoulders more than anything. And it's like, they don't want to be bad. So like I was in there kind of this
white kid
really started reading books and and this and that. And like, I found myself with some of those few more, there was a kid, we called him Chicago. He was from Chicago. He was going for 40 years and he was robbing banks. Probably he may have killed somebody. He never confided that in me, but he kind of hated all these idiots, but he would find this old black guy who plays chess and reads books and me and these couple, he would kind of gravitate to us where the young ones would gravitate to him. He's the big tough guy. And he would gravitate to the people that had some sort of sense, knowledge and wisdom to talk about different things. I saw that a lot with the ones that you would classify as more serious.
That's very interesting because it's not, I think, for anyone on the outside, what you would think.
Yeah.
You'd think, like, at least how fiction depicts that usually is this person, using this guy as an archetype of kind of the bad guy in jail, wields that power to just get fucking, and yes, probably more of that in prison because, like, there's a system to manipulate because you're there for, like, this is it.
Yeah.
You're here. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out.
Totally.
Like, but that's a very interesting observation.
I think my thing was they would generally be like career criminal type people. But within that, they'd found like actually functioning in a way and like having some sense about what you do actually matters. Where the bad ones that were young are just knuckleheaded and like scared to death and think that, and they made a wild mistake at a very young age. And all of their toughness is an overcompensation and projection to like, and you can get crushed. But those few that are the real bad guys that have been bad for a long time, they have had to function in the world in some way that they kind of develop this like code thing. And they would be the ones with more sense. And they'd be the ones like saying to me, like, if I ever see you again in here, if I see you back here again, I'm going to fucking kill you. You're too, like, they had sense. You're too smart. You're too da da da. They've come far enough in the game to know that it isn't cool, that they wish they had done it different, but that they got stuck. And there's no other place to go when you've been in it for 20 and you ain't turning it around. So you're actually like, you're trying to function in the world as a criminal. You're trying to rob a bank and you're trying to make it without getting caught type of stuff. You know what I mean? It's the way that I took a lot of that. The young and dumb ones, that's not, they may do the worst things, but they're not the scary ones.
Uh-huh.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. They're the scaredest ones. That was always interesting to me.
How open are most people about the crime?
Everybody's innocent. Even like, except those ones. Everybody's innocent. Oh. Didn't do it. And even like,
I figured if you're already there, you're like,
tell you,
I did it.
It's crazy. No, that's why, frankly, I had a weird thing about like when you say the system's broken. Yeah, it is and this and that. But like you're not willing to take any fucking responsibility. Like you deserve to be there. You know what I mean? I have trouble, even as somebody who's been there, getting myself to that place of like, you put yourself in those situations, you hang out with those types of people, that's going to happen to you. I don't have a ton of empathy for it, to be honest. I do. There's a small percentage of people that get roasted and fucked that shouldn't have been for maybe real racist reasons or socioeconomic reasons. And I do have empathy for that. But let me tell you, I didn't cross much of that in my time there.
Yeah.
By the math, it's just not there for there to be that many of those people. What there are people that, even like my cellmate at one point had heroin in him. He was robbing from Walmart. It was like he would just steal from Walmart and go buy heroin. And, you know, he had gone far enough in the selling drugs. He couldn't sell enough to to make more anymore. You just do everything you get. And now you're just stealing TVs and trying to get money to do drugs every day. And kind of proud of it. Said he was the best Walmart stealer going. Probably not that great if you're in jail next to me, but you go on, Enrique. And but he said he had like a little bag and he hit it between his fingers. And he went, hands above your head. He was doing this, and he had it like the whole time. He'd hit it.
When he's being arrested?
Yeah, and they couldn't find it. He just had a little bag of heroin he hid between his fingers. And then something happened at the end, and like as he was being let go, the bag came out. They kind of the cop saw it and get back and da-da-da, and they chased him and they got him. And even admitting this to me that I had this heroin in my fingers— said like it wasn't me, like he was saying it wasn't me, but like the way they did it
wasn't right,
and he can't be in jail, and he's gonna beat this. And I'm just a person like I'm just flabbergasted by the story. Like, but you had
part of that though. You need hope, fingers. Right? Though
I look at it a different way.
Yeah, no, let me just first say I can't overstate how much respect I have for what you had just said. It's easy to say that not having been in jail, to be like, these people just need to take responsibility. But hearing you, it's a totally different context for you to say that.
And the reason, like, I never would have said that back then, and I don't like how Republican that sounds and all of that, but I didn't go back.
You use it as a springboard for growth.
I didn't go back. Because I looked, because I took all of that responsibility at the time. The reason
that's my respect.
Exactly. The reason they go back again and again and again is because even when you had the bag on you, it wasn't your fault. It was the cop's fault. And it was that is everywhere. Everybody is just talking to people in the same situation of them about how to beat their case because they're innocent, when they're not innocent. And obviously, when you're in that framework, that's the number one thing that most people are thinking about. It's like we joked with the talking golf or talking like your crypto portfolio today. Everybody's just in there talking.
Oh, it's bad, by the way. Someone asked. Yes.
Everybody's just in there talking their case and the specifics of their case and the details and to other people who only want to tell you
about their
case. The specifics of their case and why that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's all just deflection of responsibility over and over and over again. And that, it was that thing that started to change me. We talked about that.
Where in the process did you start to feel differently about that? Because like, were you trying to, if you're in these, I'm picturing a situation where you're in this conversation where everyone's going through what you just described, being like, and so obviously I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I'll be out of here soon.
It's all the time too.
But
everybody
then,
thinks they're out.
You know, in the circle, then they get to you and you're like, I did it. I'll be here for 9 months. Yeah. Like, is that, were you the odd man out?
100%.
How do people react to that?
They're really only concerned with their stuff. They may not have heard it. They certainly ain't learning from it. And there's a few that are, like, you know what I mean? You gravitate to the ones who do.
Yeah.
So you have your little circle. And I don't mean to make it, but it, and it felt like
you're not making it weird at all.
No, but like my little circle of guys who played chess and da da da, and you could have like really intelligent conversation with. And it was just this wild one guy had worked for BAE Systems. Defense contracting out of Nashua. He was an engineer and he found crack. And man, did he find crack. And it ruined him. Six years later, this and that, yada, yada. But he had, he was taking responsibility for his crack use. You know what I mean? He wanted to be better. And you find a guy like that. Another guy was nicest guy in the world. He'd been in and out of jail his entire life. He was the biggest kid ever. When you talk big and bad, he was a jolly, sweet kid. Definitely almost Green Mile-y. Literally that big. I wouldn't have marked him as very intelligent, but like curious and yada. And frankly, I think because we'd gotten close to each other, then something happened where, like, because you're close, when stuff flares up, it's more emotional and it means more.
Yeah.
We'd really blown up one time in the kitchen and he was, and I called him into like the big room where there's no camera to fight and da-da-da, biggest kid in the fucking world, banking on that he wasn't going to fight because he did have sense. He wanted to get out of there. He didn't want to beat people up, but everybody was afraid of him. But I called him in the room. He didn't come. And then I didn't have to worry about nobody. But you know what I mean?
Because you challenged him?
I punked him. I didn't in any way. I think the punking would have been...
What's punking?
But you punked, like you...
You do a, like a really elaborate celebrity prank?
Yeah, but punked if I... During a conflict, I arose the one that didn't get disrespected.
I called you
in somewhere to throw hands and you didn't come.
Got
you. You bitch, I punked you. You know what I mean? Where the real punking is if you go fight with somebody, get time added on your sentence and have to go to the whole, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, where all it comes from is the curiosity about that kind of stuff.
And the reason I bring that story up, he worked in the kitchen. Also in jail, when you work in any capacity in the place, it's like heaven. It's vacation. You might get access to some of the staff food. You get out of your cell for time. Even if you're like guys that...
How long?
They're like 8-hour shifts.
Oh, wow.
They're like, that's straight normal
and
shift
work.
And you'd
be in you a could cell be in the for laundry. 8 hours otherwise?
No, depends where you were.
Wow. Some,
when you first get in, you go through what's called like classification. They're figuring out who you are. How long are you going to be here? Are you mentally ill?
Are you going to be a threat?
What pod are you going to go into?
Yeah.
And they all have different clearances. And when you're there, that's generally like 2 weeks of like, you come out 30 minutes for breakfast, 30 minutes for lunch, 30 minutes for dinner. And then there's maybe like an hour of walk time. That's tight. And then there's different pods with different classifications depending on where they put you. If they put you in, most operate this way, like trusty, it's like you're the most safe, yeah. And it ends up being a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you have like co-defendants in a case, those people will generally go to different pods.
So they can't corroborate.
If you're mentally ill, yeah, different. So one can't fuck the other one up, or if one's snitching and you find out, then you've got a death in the jail, blah, 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 blah. So that's what they mix up most stuff for where I was. Like most people, you're just keeping it straight. You're not mentally ill. You'll be trusty at some point. And then when you're there, you can work in the laundry. You can work in the kitchen. You can go around at night and sweep and mop the floors and all. And everybody's gunning to do those types of things because you get out and get some freedom. And this kid, Bobby, was in the kitchen, the huge Green Mile kid. He took a, I did a similar thing, like, but he took a liking to the guy that ran the kitchen and would always kind of follow him around. He was known as the kitchen guy. He'd sneak some food back for people and that gets you clout. But he had asked one day about getting a job in the kitchen when he got out of jail.
Coming back to work at the kitchen?
As a citizen.
How many citizens are working?
Quite a few.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like there's some, they'd all wear one color shirt and they, you know, I had known one of the kids from high school that did that. That's embarrassing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But that type of thing. And like, I took that as like, that's why I like him. Like, go Bobby, go. He had been the biggest, toughest, da da da. Word gets around that he's trying to come work for the jail after being out of the jail.
No.
He got, it's basically like snitch. Like,
really?
You want to be? Yeah, he got roasted. He lost all his
status.
You're
just trying to feed these people.
He lost all his status in the pod and da da da. And it was a couple situations like that that just really cemented like this romanticism I had for gangsters and the street life and da 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 is nothing that I want. And with empathy, like, I don't mm-hmm. hate, I don't admire them. I have empathy. You can just really clearly start to peg people and see how they got to be where they were. Your parents were a drug addict. You grew up in the system. And all of these things aren't, none of it's coming from a position of strength. It's all coming from weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you once started realizing that, really started looking at what am I going to do with me when I get out of here? That became my whole mission in there. And that's where, frankly,
are there a lot of resources to be even able to figure that out? Because then just thinking about it, it's like, well, okay, maybe you like, yeah, how do you figure that out? Because it's like, you're not even part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So like how you can't fucking.
It's minimal. And that's where I think there could be, I think the prison system in America and the jail system. Prison would make more sense. Again, jail's just kind of quick turnover. But there's very small ones. And there's AA meetings. There's always these pastors that go looking for wayward and bring religion into church and into jail. And
I think the success rate's pretty high.
So many people find it. And I think that's a good thing. I'm not talking down from that. I definitely think that's a good thing. But they're pretty basic to a few things like that. Tiny bit of, there was something where you could go study the law stuff about your case and stuff like that.
But they limit like the books you can read.
There was no real, you didn't have anybody really running it.
Well, right.
Just like, okay, I'm going to
become a professor of law now.
If you had like a...
on my own in jail, like, yeah, it seems so unrealistic.
If you had some young lawyers that could guide those people, I think that could have been fun. But there was very little in the way of that, like true rehabilitation. What there is books. And there's not a ton of...
pretty open access.
Yeah, and they rotate around. It's kind of the easiest way to keep people busy.
Is there really a guy that goes around on the cart?
Yep, cart would come through once a week. They'd kind of...
Or is there contraband in it sometimes, like in the movies?
Yeah, I mean, they get checked thoroughly when they get sent in. And so many people are trying to get drugs in there. I was actually... it was one of the most secure facilities in the country. Not because of need, just the way it was constructed was incredibly well. There isn't a lot of movement.
Did it have a nickname?
Valley Street. It was just Valley Street Jail.
Maybe it had like...
the Octagon.
Yes, exactly.
No, I feel you. But it just was known for its... just kind of ironclad. It was very difficult to get drugs in there. And you also got to think of a lot of these people are in a jail. It's not prison. You know you're going to prison. You're going to figure out how to get stuff up your butt, swallow stuff. But like, you know you're going away and you know the day you have to report generally.
Not so you want to have one day of doing heroin for the next 40 years.
Exactly. But in jail, it's not like you didn't get arrested during the commission of your crime with... like a bundle up your butt just in case it went south and you ended up in jail. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then construction of it made it incredibly hard for anybody visiting to get it to you or anything like that. It was just a place pretty devoid of drugs. And when they'd get in, everybody's gunning for how to get it. But that was neither here nor there.
Would that be the most single valuable piece of like currency you could have? Yeah.
Yeah. That's another incredibly interesting thing.
Yeah.
Is just how the socioeconomic and economic, like this becomes a microcosm and a little ecosystem, just like everything else. Things obtain value. I guess cigarettes were wicked hard to get.
Does anyone have actual money?
You have what's called commissary.
Right.
So
if you have people
from the outside, they put money on your commissary. I don't know if it's digital now, but it was a little booklet you'd fill out and you'd turn it in one day a week. Then they'd have the day that commissary comes out. And
isn't it like wicked overpriced snacks?
Yeah, it's ramen and knockoff
Doritos. You can't
even
cook
and
the ramen?
The water in the thing gets incredibly hot.
It's the cup one.
So you would... no, it was the packet, but essentially every single cell has this big tank that is like toilet on one side,
sink
on the top, blah, blah, blah. And the water in there would get wild hot. And everybody, you had to do certain like series of hitting the button to get it to the maximum heat. And some cells would do it and other cells wouldn't.
I was going to say, that seems like it'd be a danger if a fight broke out with cellmates.
Yeah, no, there was a few cells where that water would get wicked hot, and then they'd become like the kitchen, and you'd go make your ramen in their thing. And
you can go to another cell?
No, but they that would give them clout.
I see.
You know what I mean? They would cook everybody's food.
I see.
And then I cook your ramen, but you give me a couple of soups a week. Mm-hmm. Soups were very much the standard currency in there, was ramen soups.
Uh-huh.
You would get three soups, four soups, and at one time my cellmate, Mickey, ran what you would call the store. These are people with lots of commissary.
This is an official store.
You have all your commissary under your bed, and people, you start, okay, I just got in here. I swear my girl's going to hold me down. She got me. Da-da-da. Probably not. But so I don't have my commissary yet. I just got in yesterday, but give me three soups. When I hit my thing, I'll get you back six soups. Oh, give me soup loan. Give me shower shoes. I need shower shoes. I need body wash, a couple of the extra things, da da da. And then I'll give you back a Doritos, six honey buns. Like it's just a bartering place for people that have the most commissary. So if you have, and frankly, that stuff is never like you see in the movies of like, this guy's gang is putting money on his books and keeping him good and he's got a lot of power. It's people that actually have family and have a mother.
Uh-huh.
The people holding people down in jail, mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom always
as is. It always is.
It's only mom.
Yeah.
And that's the, you start to realize these things. And if you're not looking at, like, it's hard to look to see it any other way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a place that really drives home the truths of life right to you.
Hmm.
And then to finish your last thing, for me personally, it was reading. You've got nothing else to do in there. You read a ton. Reading, like, crystallized all these things that I was seeing in this strange new place. And then you read a book about Taoism. And you, even some of these, I remember I read a book from Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses. But so went through all this party in the highest of life. I should have been happy. I'm miserable. And then out the other side, he made some investments in Microsoft and this and that and settled down with like a plain Jane wife and had some kids. And you know what? You're seeing things and you're thinking about things. And then you read a thing in a book that relates to it. You keep having these make connection moments. And but above all else, it was reading. And you realize it's a lot of the stuff like they don't teach you in school. Like you just start to learn these life lessons in a rapid pace fashion with the consequences of not learning them directly in front of you.
It's yeah, so wow. incredible.
And,
yeah.
and that's why looking back on it, I can talk about I am so grateful for that experience, truly. And I that's why last year when I climbed Katahdin with my buddy, I was like, bro, I got to find a way to like go to jail for a short period of time without any real consequences. Because
that
like,
exists for sure.
Because the time that's 10 years since I did that. It's 10 years since I did that. And I'm complacent again. And I'm like,
I don't think you'd.
You know what?
You're certainly not complacent like you were when you first went to jail.
Absolutely.
I didn't know you, but I can guarantee it.
And there's something in that framework, in that little bit of adversity. Shout out Cam and David Goggins. If you lean into the adversity, good things are generally on the other side of that.
That's what I'm here for.
Baby. But
your raps suck, by the way.
And that's how they get better.
I do not.
They were much better in that day. That's how you.
Oh, that's actually
you get a lot of entertainment.
Were you rapping a lot in jail?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There
did that give you commissary clout?
Gave me clout, yeah,
but not the trading clout.
It was a good way to entertain people. Frankly, there was quite a few that were wildly talented, and you
at it.
Yeah, oh yeah. There was one kid that was way better than me. I was probably through my time there. I was probably the second best, but I can't play the piano and sing at the same time. I can play the piano a tiny bit, and then as soon as I try to sing anything, bang, bang, like
yeah.
I just don't have the wiring for it.
I feel that,
and I couldn't bang on the table and do the rap at the same time. And let me the kids that can, one man band man. I mean, absolute entertainment factory.
Yeah, you got your job busking as soon as you get out of here.
So I'd have another kid banging on the table, and I'd do some rapping.
Did you have to compensate him?
No, we did.
I was just curious if.
That's funny. I mean, you find like-minded people. For some period,
it's just a friend.
You'd work on
you
raps
out.
Together, and they'd be writing, and that's you forget. Music is people would literally send in. Guys would have their girl or their mom. Send in written lyrics or printed lyrics to songs because you got no music in there. So you'd literally sort of people would borrow them like, yo, I got them after he's got them. I've got them after he's got them. And they're just pages of written lyrics to songs that once you see it and have it, you can kind of get it in your head again. But that was astounding to me.
That's crazy.
Also doesn't mean anything, but huge realization back then, you forget pretty quickly. You have trouble remembering anything in musically. It becomes very hard to do. Drake was and Lil Wayne because of that. They're nasally. Everybody there, whether they like them or not, could repeat their music.
Interesting.
It made me think about the repeatability and the sing-along ability of Drake and why that became the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
They couldn't give you Eminem. They couldn't give you Tupac. Yeah. They couldn't give you anybody.
Interesting.
Everybody could give you Drake.
Those were, though, and, I would only say those were also the two biggest rappers on Earth at that time.
Yeah, Drake was pretty early.
Uh-huh.
Lil Wayne, sir, I think, the time I was in jail was when Lil Wayne was doing all that those mixtapes, and Lil Wayne was the biggest rapper on the planet, 100%. And he'd kind of just...
The greatest rapper alive.
Found Drake, and so Drake was certainly hot a little bit, but I think there's something bigger. There's something about the nasally... singy repeatability.
Yeah, that's
that
very
got
interesting.
Stuck in, and that hadn't been around much. Nobody was doing the sing rap yet. Nelly had, you know, like it, that was very early sing rap, and now that's
no
like,
one had done it without a Band-Aid.
Now that's all it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting.
Kind
of similar. It made me think of one thing that, and then we can get out of here before 3Bay. There's all I could talk about this like forever,
I'm
but
happy to,
you know, the deal with Milo. There's someone over there working when I'm not. But I was just reading a little bit about a few random things last night in Pruno, the prison wine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
people had tried? I didn't have any. I do know it had been successfully made, and people definitely try it in a place that's it becomes pretty. Obvious pretty quickly. I think the people that had the
that it sucks or
that you're doing it.
If you want to keep it there, great. But So what I don't really know how I got into it, but there was this guy at I think he was at in San Quentin,
mm-hmm.
and he like won this award for this poem. He was serving life there, or maybe he was on death row. But wrote the poem's called A Recipe for Prison Wine, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally at one line is his, like a line from his sentence. Then it goes to the recipe, like the first step in the, and it just alternates
back
for
and
like
forth the whole time.
However many lines. But the recipe. What is crazy, bro?
What, tell me.
I'll cue it up real quick. I'll actually just read the recipe part. The sentence is...
Read the poem.
Yeah, here we go. All right, so it's actually called The Recipe for Prison Pruno, which is, I'm assuming... I don't know where the uno is, but it's... The pru is obviously prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not going to read the sentence... and this man's Jarvis Masters is the poet. Take 10 peeled oranges, 1 8-ounce bowl of fruit cocktail, squeeze the fruit into a small plastic bag, and put the juice along with the mash inside. Add 16 ounces of water and tightly seal the plastic bag. Place the bag into your sink. And heat it with hot running water for 15 minutes.
That's that sink water. It's...
And you're heating up the what is colder, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, various fruit concentrates is what, as just like chemistry-wise, what I think what that is getting it to a real hot place where it will ferment a lot easier.
Yeah, of course.
15 minutes. Wrap towels around the bag to keep it warm for fermentation. So it actually ferments in the plastic bag.
Yep.
Stash the bag in your cell undisturbed for 48 hours. When the time has elapsed, add 40 to 60 cubes of white sugar, 6 teaspoons of ketchup.
Ooh.
Then heat again for 30 minutes. I'm not, you know, I understand the kind. I'm not laughing.
No.
But I'm not in prison.
Yeah.
So reading it in that context, it. Sash the bag undisturbed.
It's pretty, it's a pretty technical, intricate recipe.
Yeah, 6 teaspoons of ketchup, heat again for 30 minutes, secure the bag as done before, and stash it for 72 hours. Reheat daily for 15 minutes. After the 72 hours, with a spoon, skim off the mash. I'm not sure if that's technically the term, but I'm assuming the fruit grossness that's on the top. And pour the remaining portion into 2 18-ounce cups.
My experience with it was that guys would try to stash fruit somewhere, to rot and see how
that
long.
That sounds pretty close.
That's a yeah. little more advanced.
Yeah.
And they would try to keep the fruit from being found, literally just stashed and rotting, then take the stuff out and be left with the juice. I do know people were successful. I know, but you would, it was the kitchen was all. Could,
well, frankly, that's all the Pruno ingredients
you didn't get
are.
Much fruit like yeah. in your day to day. And it's hard to, they're tight about taking any food from your tray when you eat back to your cell. Everybody's trying, but people would make it, would keep stashing fruit in the kitchen and always be finding in the ceiling tiles. They'd be finding place to just.
Other kitchen workers?
Leave fruit. Yeah, the like jail workers that go to work there,
right?
Not the people who work there, yeah.
But like if you're just getting your food, you can't go into the kitchen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The people that do all that, and then
why the job's more appealing.
And then it becomes,
you can make Pruno on the side.
Exactly. Stuff yeah. like that. And then you, most of them would just have it there because it's very difficult to get that back to the
interesting
house. I think if I do remember right, like a lot of times the if you were successful, you'd just like get sick and shit.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But yeah.
Especially if it was literally just drinking rot.
It's like a small bucket. Of,
this sounds like it would taste horrific, but it would ferment. Yeah. Like reading that, I believe that you could get
and
some
alcohol.
And you've
got a little ketchup for seasoning. You
oh
know
my
what I mean?
God, dude. That part threw me for a loop. And then 60 cubes of sugar?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
I like it.
Yeah, hey.
Good
clearly the recipe has been refined over time.
Shout out
so
Jarvis.
I'm not knocking it. Well, that's very interesting. I'm going to cut myself off because, again, sure. I could keep going for way too long. So Three Bay, I'm going to give you three famous jail/prisons and however you want, pair them up with one of our beers. We'll go
guess
with the
who's going to jail tonight.
Guess who's going to jail. Take what you want.
Yeah.
Let's go with the aforementioned San Quentin. Let's go with, the Alcatraz, I believe of the South, it's called Angola in Louisiana, features Big and True Detective season one.
Yeah.
And then let's go with Rikers Island. It's closer. Ooh. Or actually let's go to, would you rather do Rikers or Manchester?
Doesn't matter. We talked
let's
about
go
me.
Rikers.
We can do Rikers.
And one other quick thing about that. I was just reading a little bit about it last night. 14,000 people there.
Jesus Christ.
And a lot of that is, as just as you said, a good chunk of that is people that couldn't pay bail or were awaiting trial
yeah,
or
wild.
Whatever. Yeah, the not people that were straight up, you're in prison,
yeah.
it's done, which that was shocking to me that why not just make a different place for that?
Yeah.
But 14,000 people. Skowhegan in prison.
I'm going to start with Rikers. And I'm going to go Angels with Filthy Souls. I spent a little bit of time in New York. I know some people that have kind of gone through. My impression, and I don't know this to be science, but like you say, I think you think of jails and like bad ones and where terrible things happen, and you think of Rikers, New York City. It's huge, it's big, it's daunting, like Angels with Filthy Souls. But you don't. And whether this is just a jail's being good at like keeping stuff out of the press or anything like that, but you don't hear a ton of terrible things happening there. You know what I'm saying? And my experience, from my understanding, again, I could be wrong. A lot of these, the jails you don't want to be in are these jails in the South, small Mississippi, Alabama. I heard a lot about Florida in there. And people that had been to jail in Florida, and for whatever reason, you do have this like Florida to Maine connection or Florida to the New England connection where people leave for winters and all of that. I met a surprising number of people in there that had been to jail in Florida, and they were like scared to death, never go back. For some
wow.
of them, it's why they went to commit crimes in other places. But Rikers isn't that. It's big and daunting, but I'm using like sweet from the Maple and Angels with Filthy Souls, but you don't hear, you'd think a place with that many people and that if it was that bad, there'd be people getting murdered in Rikers every day. And I don't think, I mean, you just don't hear about
like
that
most
being the case whatsoever. Not that it's a sweet place to be,
sure.
but they must have a really good system for
You have 14,000 people,
you're going here. Most of these like normal citizen small offense people are going here, and like gang affiliated real like dangerous people, they get that, it sounds like they get that separated pretty well.
Yeah.
So
love it.
Big and daunting, but it's sweet. San Quentin.
That's kind of the baddest place to be in California, though.
That's what,
right?
I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah. I'm certainly not going to tell you which one's the baddest one of your beers. You know what I mean?
I don't. No. Hey.
San Quentin.
Preserve and protect.
I will go that direction then. We'll go San Quentin. Certainly from my experience, not my experience, not at all, but from like just general knowledge and stuff like that, certainly not a place I would ever want to be locked up. It's known as the baddest in a way that Rikers isn't. Rikers has this rep, it's in New York, but it ain't the baddest. I would much rather go to Rikers than San Quentin, is my gut instinct. So it's the baddest. We'll go early days. Hate to do this to you. Love
Dude,
you to death,
I don't
baby.
Care.
Early days, Bucolia.
Yeah, they all day.
I was wicked excited to get Bissell on draft at FamDog when I worked there. Got substance like number one. And then I remember there was this stretch right after where the only beer I could get was Bucolia. And the first time you pour that beer, you know what I meant? Early in the draft, I'm thinking like, okay, it's a different, but let's check it out. And the first time you pour that beer, she the baddest.
Yeah.
In first surprise.
Yep. It's a tough one, man. That with, cause I still like put a lot of work into the recipe. But it was a good learning experience of like visual matters, and mm-hmm. people cannot escape. Not saying that everyone would have loved that beer if it looked different, but you know, for what it was supposed to be, it's supposed to taste the way it tastes.
Yeah.
And, but the visual is the visual.
Yeah.
And I
thought the name was tough with the
name
visual.
Sucked too. The name totally sucked.
But even just to get Bucolia,
all me, by the way.
It ends in an ia.
I know.
It's too close to,
yep.
It sounds like if you were to ingest a Bucolia,
you're dying.
Well, what you put out could look a lot like what's being poured in the glass. It sounds like if you go into a lake, a bad lake, like you can get, be careful.
It's like right by botulism.
Exactly. Yeah. They shut down the lake because there was a Bucolia outbreak in the lake. It's testing high for Bucolia. You don't want none of that. Sounds like a bacteria. That's pretty good.
Well done.
Which brings us to the last one. What was the one in Louisiana you said?
Angola. It has mm-hmm. like a no. gross, horrible, like slave. It was on a slave plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like a horrible place.
Yeah.
I don't know how actual life is there, but
nope.
It's the biggest maximum security in the
yeah.
South, I
That's
think.
That's my, from talking to people in there that had been around, it was prison in the deep South ain't where you want to be. And it was the worst.
True Detective does not make it sound
yeah,
good.
It was the worst of all of it. Where you did want to be was federal prison for anything. But anyways, I'm going to go a little close to home and a little too soon, and I apologize, but Angola is not a place that I would want to be for a long time, right? It's not a place that I would want. After a while, we're going to go DO substance, little mix up with the substance, a little bit of oxygen in there, right?
Well, no one's going to have to go there.
You did the right
only
thing.
The drain.
You did the right thing, exactly. But a beer that could have been fine.
DO substance.
It's not something you'd want for a long time.
You don't
want to be in Angola in month three. You don't want to be drinking that subby after 40 days, 60 days.
Oh, my God.
That's what
yeah.
I got.
And to the three people still listening at this point, what you're referring to is
let them know
in a very weird, convoluted way that doesn't really. It wasn't anyone's stupid idiot mistake. How it set up somehow, we ended up putting compressed air.
Tough.
Into the carb stone.
Yeah.
And turns out picks up O2 really quick when it's coming out through a centered stone. Oh, so yeah, that's down the drain. And it was just a very big mystery of how the fuck this three transfers get done in the day. And then this one beer inexplicably has the highest DO anyone has ever seen, at least with normal stuff. And so it was a huge mystery, and crew got to the bottom of it, but great answer.
Dio Substance Angola.
Well done, man. Let's get to work and let's try not to go to jail tonight.
Yep. And you can look forward to a long run of guests on the other side of this solo.
Take what you want. I'm in the mood to be slow and careful.